we all have compassion, I think, for those people who have addictive behavior, whether it be medication, prescription medication, drugs in and of itself, or alcohol. But when that addiction goes above and beyond the public safety, legislators like myself, the public in general, society, have an obligation to say enough is enough. I mean, how many times can a person get on a roadway, get in a vehicle, and really make it a two-ton weapon? Because when you're under the influence of alcohol, or you're just a dangerous driver, what I call highway cowboys, and you don't obey the laws. I mean, the law itself, the chronic and serial drunk and dangerous driving law, which I promoted, called Charlotte's Law. Charlotte was a woman who was volunteering at Proctor's Theater in Schenectady. She was doing the right thing, walking across a crosswalk, and someone just barreled through there at a high speed and killed her. That individual was not a drunk driver. He never had a history of drunk driving, but he had 15 to 19 different arrests and violations for dangerous driving, not obeying the laws on the road. So this is not only a drunk driving problem, it's a drunk and dangerous driving problem. And this individual, who five, now six times, how many times does a person have to get drunk or do dangerous things like causing an accident or really injuring somebody, manslaughter, be convicted of manslaughter in a vehicle, before we say, that's enough. You're going to lose your driving privileges for the rest of your life. And if you get in a vehicle after you lose your driving privileges, all the bullets are in the chamber. It's not like you've gotten your license back and you can drive five or six times without drinking and maybe they won't catch you, and then the seventh or eighth time they won't catch you and you are drinking. Under this law, once you get in a vehicle, every time you get in a vehicle and you're stopped by law enforcement, you would go to jail for 4 years. We'd get you off the roadways. So it's a deterrent in two ways. It sends a message, look, you're going to lose your privileges for the rest of your life. But if someone is so chronic, so addicted, they're going to continue to do this at least every single time they get in a vehicle, and they're already determined to be chronic or serial dangerous drivers, we can take them off the roads for 4 years and put them behind prison, because that's the only way we're going to keep our constituents safe.
Under your legislation, how many DWI arrests would a person have to have, and how many dangerous driving convictions would a person have to before your law kicks in?
Well, basically, it's a three strikes and the keys are taken away from you. You lose your privileges for the rest of your life. And that means if you have three DWIs, on the third one, you would lose your driving privileges. If you have one DWI, one manslaughter, one serious injury or death to an individual caused by you, that combination of three. So it's a combination of dangerous driving habits and drinking and driving habits. So any three combination of those dangerous activities on the road says we gave you one chance, we gave you two chances. But in baseball, three strikes and you're out. I mean, there's a lot of carnage taking place on the road right now, roadways. And, you know, if you go to a victim impact statement hearing someday and you hear the heart-wrenching testimony of family members about the loss of their lives, it's for a lifetime has an impact. But it's not only lives and the safety of our constituents. Have you checked your premiums for your life insurance lately or your car insurance lately? They're skyrocketing. Why are they skyrocketing? Not because of innocent law-abiding, careful drivers on the road, because of the cowboys, because of those who drink and drive, because of the drunk and dangerous drivers on the road. We have to pay for that carnage on the road. When someone becomes a paraplegic for the rest of their lives, God forbid that does happen. Our car insurance goes up, our life insurance goes up to pay for that and to pay for the carnage on the vehicle damage and property damage.
What is the status of your bill in the legislature?
Oh, it's in the transportation committees. It'll hopefully go to the codes committees at some point in both the Senate and the Assembly. We have a majority sponsor with several other majority sponsors. Senator Maziar from Buffalo, Senator Farley from the Capital Region, several other senators are sponsoring it in the majority. But we've asked the governor unilaterally to do this through the Department of Motor Vehicle because we saw what he did with the marijuana situation, where those who were developing marijuana, he took it off the stores and off the shelves unilaterally. He can do the same unilaterally without passing legislation and just say, you know, at some point we've got to adjust our thinking to say that you're a danger to the roadway. The keys have to be taken away. And the one thing we have to remember is this. Driving is not a right. It's a privilege. It's a privilege that you deserve to lose if you're taking away the right to life, which is a privilege for those people who drive in an innocent, honest, law-abiding way on our roadways.
I saw one criminal defense attorney respond to your legislation by saying, at least for the drunken drivers, those ignition locking devices is the way to go. People, if they're 3 DWIs, you put that in their car, they simply can't start the car.
Yeah, I noticed you couched it by saying at least. You see, he was misinformed and misguided. My bill is for drunk and dangerous drivers. Putting a alcohol blow device in the car of a vehicle that this gentleman who killed Charlotte would do nothing. He had no drinking or driving violations. What he was is a street cowboy. Went out there and broke the law 18 to 19 different times, excessive speed, a whole variety of different dangerous driving. A blow device would do nothing for that individual to keep him or another person off the roadways. And what this lawyer, who, by the way, self-admittedly said he was an attorney whose practice focuses on DWI and related traffic law violations. I mean, he makes a living by defending people who create carnage on our roadways. I'm not shocked or surprised that he would try to defend allowing them to keep their licenses. But what he doesn't talk about is that it's over $2,000 to put one of those devices in a car. Secondly, it's $100 to $150 a month. These individuals can't afford to pay that. Guess who has to pay the freight for the cost of that equipment in the vehicle in the monthly charge? The taxpayers of New York State have to pay that. And I agree with him when he said in his article, what's to stop this individual from taking one of his relatives' cars, from taking one of his friends' cars, and getting in that car and going on a deadly spin? It's a false hope. It doesn't do anything about dangerous drivers who don't drink, and it doesn't stop individuals from still getting on the roadways with other people's vehicles.